Welcome to Intentional Living Center. Today I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. I believe that the American dating system, the way that we choose to date a person, the process, isn't working all that well. I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to prove the point as you try to help your teens do a better job of dating choices. Are you ready? This is Intentional Living.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are open, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your kids, here's Randy.
All right, thank you very much, Kurt, and welcome to the Intentional Living Center. And I want to invite you to give me a call if you're a parent of a teenager or you've been through this with a teenager. What kind of process did you go through, and how have you been intentional, or how are you being intentional with your teens and dating? We'd love to talk to you about that. I want to hear either a question or how you're choosing to approach this intentionally. 888-888-1717. The divorce rate in the United States for first marriages comes in at about 40% in all the research that I have done. And if you are truly devoted Christians, I mean, people who read the Bible, go to church, not just they put down on a box, I'm a Christian. You know, a lot of people say I'm a Christian. They got to be something, so I'm a Christian. But I'm talking about people who truly are Christ followers, have a better outcome. I've seen statistics of first-time marriages 20-25%. But let's just be real honest. Let's put the proverbial cards on the table. If you have anything, if you had a product that had a 40% failure rate, you wouldn't be that happy with it. If you went out to buy something, let's say a new car, and the car dealer said, hey, it's a beautiful car, you're going to love the car, you're going to have fun driving the car, but I got to tell you, there's a 40% chance that this isn't going to make it through the first year or the first couple of years, certainly not to the life expectancy of a car, you'd say, well, there's got to be a better system of building cars or picking cars. And unfortunately, in our dating system in this country, which, by the way, has become a very interesting process with all of the very successful, making hundreds of millions of dollars dating services online, where, you know, you put in all your facts and statistics and, you know, that picks people for you. And I think that's an attempt to say, well, we got to do better than just kind of see someone, you know, at a restaurant or someone who might go to a bar or someone who just goes down the street and finds someone and starts dating. What I look at when I see the years of working with married couples, many of whom who have struggled in their marriage, going back to the beginning of the dating process, I think we have things backward. In our culture, in our American culture today, we work from the outside in. You know, we start with the outward appearance. We start with the outward persona or what the projection is that this person is sending out. The vibes, as they say, you know, there's a connection and all that kind of thing. And then move to the inside, where the Bible clearly teaches you start on the inside. You know, you know a person inside before you really get caught up with the outside. Now, we know the outside is important. I mean, that's part of the process of dating and attraction. Of course, that's part of it. I think we have it backward. And in fact, we should start, first of all, from a biblical standpoint. The Bible is very clear that we're not to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. You can read that in 2 Corinthians 6. And the yoking is that process of two people pulling together, sharing the load together, loving each other, headed in the same direction. And if you have two in a yoke, one pulling to the left, one pulling to the right, you got a problem. It's a pretty practical thing. So get the faith part. Make sure that when you're dating, if you're not dating a person that truly, truly is on the same page spiritually, you have no business dating that person. You're violating what the scripture teaches. You're going to violate your own good common sense. And frankly, you're going to make a lot of pain for you and that person that's unnecessary down the path. Here's the problem. You take a group of people, that's about 80% of the potential people are just gone right now, right? You know, some number like that. And so now you're down to maybe 10, 15, 20% of the people who maybe share really your faith if you have a deep, growing, abiding faith in Christ. But there's two other things that are really important I'm going to get to beyond the faith that if you don't have, I think contribute to what we see even 20-25% of truly devout followers of Christ failing in their marriage. And I think there's two other things. We'll get to that during this half hour. Come and join me. What kind of rules do you have or policies or process or how do you handle dating with your kids? We're talking about helping you with your teenagers. I want to give you some stuff today that you can help your kids with. If your kids are dating a non-believer, boy, you know it, and they need to know it, that we tend to marry the people we date, right, eventually. And we really don't have any business being dating kind of relationship with someone of faith that doesn't share our faith. 888-888-1717. Give me a call.
I'm 16 years old, and I've only been a Christian for about 6 months. But anyways, just like recently, me and this boy connected and stuff. And, you know, I tried to tell him about Jesus, and he just has, like, these drug problems and stuff. And, like, he doesn't respect me, and especially when I'm trying to talk to him about these things. And, like, the Lord just kind of, like, told me, like, he led me to Ecclesiastes 3 last night, and it said, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And this really just stuck out to me. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away. And just how I'm living intentionally, just like I know that like I just can't be around this boy because like my old self, my old feelings are just coming back for him.
Did she say she'd been a believer for 6 months? Do you know how old she is? Did she say how old she was? 16, did she say? 16 years old? Did you hear the wisdom oozing out of that 16-year-old, parents? Here's a young lady, new believer. She's going to God's word. She gets it. Because I was going to say, if the story didn't change, you got to run. Don't assume future behavior is going to be different than past behavior. The best predictor of the future is the past in terms of behavior. And so... good for you, young lady. I'm proud of you. That's fantastic. You know, we're talking about today dating, and as a parent, or maybe you're a grandparent raising your grandchildren, how do you approach this with your kids? Or maybe you have a question. One question always is, when is it too early to date? Well, online, Loretta asked, you know, the question we're asking, when's an appropriate age? And Loretta says, never. Well, you know, I think the American system of dating is woefully inadequate to pick a life partner. And you got to begin with prayer and develop your faith. But there's two other things I mentioned. And the next thing is friendship. There's three F's here. First, faith. Secondly, is friendship. All the research I've read is that if you marry your best friend, if you marry a person who truly is a friend, you share the same interest, you have the same desires and so on, you're going to have it easier in your marriage. There's no question about it. Picking a friend, a person that you just enjoy being with. I look at my relationship with my wife, Donna, and I consider her my best friend. Now, sometimes our interests aren't always the same. She has certain interests different, but I enjoy being with her interests. I enjoy being with her. And we are friends, and I think that's helped sustain us for over 40 years in our marriage. Friendship is a key. If you're not a good friend, if you're not a friend with this person, even if you share the faith, and believe me, I've had people call and over the years and say, man, this person, you know, we've been dating, spiritually, we are just tight. We are on the same page. But beyond that, we just don't have anything in common, no interest. Well, that's something to think about. And then the third F, I'll get to in just a moment. Okay, we're talking about dating today. The Bible says, as you think about, you want to share a verse with your teenagers, and I know this is hard because your kids are hormone-driven and they got relationships, and today everything is sexualized in the culture, and there's a lot of things going on online, a lot of pressure for young people today. There's always been pressure in dating, but today the expectations, I mean, people are, you know, cohabiting, they're not getting married, they're living together. Sex before marriage, getting involved is just seems to be almost a way of life. And the scripture is very clear when Paul is teaching this young pastor in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and he says to Timothy, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Passions are real, and understanding that your teenagers have real passions. But if they can direct those passions in a healthy way and enter into that connection with another person in dating in a healthy, from a healthy friendship, spiritual perspective, that's so so much better. And that's why dating, when you get when people start dating, they're dating too young and they're thrown out together and they're alone and there's a lot of pressure. We just live in that culture today. Faith, friendship, and the third thing that's critical for your young person in picking a mate through this process is to look to the future. Do we share the same priorities about the future? I've talked to many couples over the years who, you know, love God and they were friends, they got married, but they never talked about how we want to handle money. Do we want to have kids? What kind of career do we want to have? Where do we want to live? What kind of relationship are we going to have with in-laws and friends and so on? What about the future? What about the next 50 years? And those, if you can help your teenager or your young adult in those three Fs, faith, friendship, and future, boy, you've done them a great service. What are you doing? Or what's your question about dating with your teenagers or your young adults in dating? Or maybe your own self. Maybe you're wrestling with this. 888-888-17-17 is the number.
Mom and Dad, you like Trisha, right?
From school? Yeah, you seem to, too.
Yeah, do you like her enough to let me date her?
Wow, well, you're 15. What do you mean by date her, Will?
Well, she'd be my girlfriend.
Yeah, we get that. Of course, Mom and I will have to discuss this, but you understand this means there are certain ways you'd have to treat and respect her.
And that when you do things, you'd be paying.
Yes, Mom, I understand that. And yes, Dad, I understand there are certain ways to treat her. I have been watching you, you know.
Ah, we'll find out more about that here in a minute. Okay, we'll find out that story continues. John's on the line in Arizona. John, welcome to Intentional Living today.
Hi, Dr. Randy. By the way, I am going to your marriage conference in Mesa, so I'm
fantastic.
All signed up for that.
We'll look forward to seeing you there.
My question is not about teenagers. It's about me.
Okay.
And what me and my wife, we've been married for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like we did everything right. We went to a Christian dating service, and met each other there, became friends before we became daters or a couple, and then got married about 9 months later.
Okay.
But the comment that I have is no matter what you do, you try to do everything right. After you get married, you find out all the questions you should ask. And, our problem is with communication. We have a real difficult time communicating and talking about, problems and whatever. And we seem to get stalemates, even though we have a lot of things in common and all of that. And, so the dating process didn't send any of that stuff out.
Did you have premarital counseling? Did you get into?
Yeah.
You did.
Yep.
And did these things come up? What is there like one theme that tends to block you guys from communicating?
Well, she has her issues with me. No matter what I do, helping enough with kids. We do foster parenting. And helping enough with the kids, I work all odd hours at my job, and I come home, and sometimes I'm with it, and sometimes I'm not. No matter whether I'm doing the dishes once in a while, or taking the kids for her while she goes to the store, or whatever, it's never enough. And she has a lot of resentment over that. So we've talked about that, but we can't get to a place where, look, you know, I can do this much, and is that good enough? You know,
Are either of you, is this a second marriage for either of you?
Yeah. My former wife, I was married for 27 years, passed away of a rare disease.
Mm.
So I was basically taking care of her. So mm-hmm. This is my second marriage after that.
Yeah, as you know, two people. When you're married, they're two different people, and different expectations. One of the things we're going to talk about at the marriage conference, in fact, John, and I'll just touch on it briefly here, is this little formula of expectations. Whenever they are greater than, using the greater than sign, expectations greater than the daily realities of life, what we actually do. In this case, your wife has certain expectations and there's certain reality which doesn't measure up. And that always creates some sort of response. It can be disappointment, disillusionment, resentment, and so on. And the only breakthrough to that is to get into the area of communication. We're going to talk about that in more detail at the conference, John. But I think if you can identify that the issue is that expectations aren't being met, I would encourage you to sit down with your wife and say, can you just maybe spell out, put in print, what are the four or five things that you expect from me? What are they? What are the things that would really please you? I mean, not generalize that I should know because I don't know and I'm kind of brain dead, don't get it. Tell me what they are. Spell them out and then do those things because of your love for her and see what difference it makes. And then report in at the conference. Let me know and we'll give you some more good stuff there as well. All right. Thank you for your call, John. I appreciate it.
Wow, that took courage. Do you like her enough to let me date her? Who is that kid?
Did you hear what he said? I've been watching you, Dad. That tells me so much.
Huh?
Ryan, he's been watching you. He sees how you treat me, how you love me, respectfully.
Wow.
Yeah, wow is right.
Okay, so what do you think? I mean, we've got to set some ground rules, and I really think he should be asking Tina's parents if it's okay to date their daughter.
I think that's a very good idea, too. Very respectful. Good job, Dad. You raised a good one there.
Yeah, well, I think we did.
Yeah, thank you, Dad, and thank you, Mom. Only thing I'd suggest is 15's a little young. I'd add some more years to that. But I think the idea of really making sure you communicate with your kids and keep an open door with them is good. Hey, you know, intentional living is, I mean, you think about it. How else should we live? Do you want to live a good intentioned life that leads to total procrastination or an unintentional life? I teach at the seminar how that leads to scatter, chaos, frustration, but an intentional life and that process of an intentional life is what we teach in Christ. And I want to thank people who are getting it and coming and joining us on this journey. Thank you, Gail, for joining us from Bosque Farms, New Mexico. Mary, thank you for becoming sharing a gift with us in Surprise, Arizona, in the Phoenix area. And Carla from Albuquerque, thank you so much. These are some folks who've recently stood up to be a part of the ministry. And your membership in support of the ministry is so vital. Thank you. In this day and age, we need this message, and you're making it possible. Come join us. Go to theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Do you remember the story about the four guys busting through a roof and lowering their friend down in front of Jesus? Here were four guys who dearly loved their friend and greatly believed in the healing power of Jesus. So what's a little thing like tearing through the roof? It's a great illustration of prayer, and we need more people to be rope holders and roof busters and be faithful in bringing others to Jesus in prayer. So join today at theintentionallife.com/prayer. The needs are great, but our God is greater. Theintentionallife.com/prayer. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Sometimes talking to a teenager is like talking to a wall. It makes you just want to avoid doing it all together. How do you talk to teens?
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Your host is psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
When you've got something important to tell your teen, timing is everything. Wait until he's had some food before you talk. Then give him a heads up. Kids respond better when they can wrap their minds around things ahead of time. Just something simple like, after dinner, let's talk about your room for 5 minutes. When he's had a chance to think about it, you're less likely to get that blank stare. It also helps if you can get rid of any strong emotions you have. Share one or two concrete statements and then let him respond. When you partner with your teen to navigate the hard areas, it makes you both feel great. For Intentional Living, this is Dr. Greg Jantz.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate that. And Greg Jantz, Dr. Jantz, thank you. I never thought about teenagers. Get them fed first, right? Real practical. Feed them and then talk to them. In that order, by the way, Mom and Dad, pretty good. All right, we're talking about teens and dating. Let's go. Mary's on the line in Michigan. Welcome to the program, Mary.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. What have you learned about this?
Well, this is actually a perfect topic and a true answer to prayer, and just to show how good the Lord is to us. Our youngest son had been dating a young lady for 5 years, and totally wrong for him. She had no background whatsoever, and they did all the wrong things. Sex before marriage, all of that stuff, everything that was wrong. And he had a bad breakup, and it led him to, you know, completely astray from the Lord, and he was doing a lot of bad things. And he met this young lady who was full of love for Jesus, just one of those people that you pray for your family. And she actually had led my son back to the Lord. And she said, you know, if you can't love my Jesus, then you can't love me. And so now Jordan is back living for the Lord, and he is, he's doing devotion. They do a devotion together. It's just such an answer to prayer.
That's good.
It gives me goosebumps when I think about it.
Yeah, you know, Mary, when I hear those stories, I do hear stories of people who really blow it in dating. They do everything wrong. They get married, and they you know, the whole thing falls apart. And then God intervenes sometimes in those relationships and makes those things a beautiful picture of redemption and restoration. Unfortunately, not as often as we'd like, and we certainly, whenever we violate God's plan, we have the problems, and you've seen that. Your son has seen that and experienced that. But God is good about restoring and redeeming those days that have been lost. And so we'll pray that that this relationship, if God is in the middle of it, it'll be very clear, and God will bless and give direction for him and for this young lady.
And, you know, that's the one, and I'll just share the one thing. The first relationship that ended pretty much destroyed him. And I think that the Lord used this young lady to bring him back just to restore his faith in him and not in relationships, and that you're exactly right. Because he'll tell us now that, you know, if God's part of it, it's going to work.
That's it. And I would encourage him to, and you probably have, and he's smart enough now probably, take time, and make sure he's really seeking God in the midst and as they go through this. Thank you, Mary. Appreciate it. Let's go to Susan in Arizona. What do you have on this topic today, Mary, or Susan?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Randy.
You're welcome.
I have four daughters that are wonderful, and my oldest, as Mary explained, pretty much messed up her initial relationships. But one of the things that I think contributed to some of her mistakes, and I'm not taking total blame, but I was very permissive when she was very young as far as allowing her to go to the mall with her friends and just different things. It seems like if you are more permissive and maybe too permissive, that it sets them up for dating earlier. And where my other ones, I really tried to push the dating aspect off till they were 18, and that may be a big stretch, and I wouldn't say I was totally successful with that. But, you know, I encouraged friendships first, building a you group dating. My youngest actually is 19, and she just went on her first date only a couple of weeks ago.
Which I think shows, Susan, that all kids are different.
Right.
You know, the reality, there's some kids that are 16, 17, they're very mature for their age, or they're grounded, they're secure, they know who they are. And you got others who are 19, you know, and 20 and beyond that are still trying to figure out who they are. And so every child is different, for sure. But that's a great story. And as you learn, it sounds like you've learned through the process. Susan, I got to wrap it up. I'm out of time, but thank you for calling today. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right, appreciate your call. God bless you.
We just weren't really on the same page, so there tend to be a lot of cold shoulders and disagreements and not being able to come together. My one thing challenge was to speak life into my marriage by giving my husband a word of praise or a word of encouragement every day. After the challenge, we're doing better. We have been able to put aside our selfishness and really put each other first before ourselves, and that has really made a difference. I thought I was praying for him to understand me and better communication coming from him. God answered my prayer by giving me the understanding about him.
God has a way of doing that, doesn't he? We pray about one thing and God's going to do it in us. And whenever we pray for someone else, about someone else, change someone else, it comes back on us. That's an excerpt from one of our callers who's talking about their marriage and how our Ministry of Intentional Living has impacted them. And, you know, intentional living has a passion to help couples. We believe that as families are strong in Christ, as you're strong and living intentionally, you can have better statistics than the rest of the world and more happiness and contentment. There is no reason on this planet that those of us who are followers of Christ shouldn't have the best communication, the best sex lives, the most intimacy, the greatest future and expectations about the future than anybody on the planet. And we believe that comes from living intentionally. And I have three experiences coming up here. Our Intentional Love Marriage Conferences in Mesa, July the 15th. That's a Friday night in Mesa. In Glendale, Saturday afternoon the next day, July the 16th, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we got a Friday night, 7 o'clock. Glendale, 3 o'clock. That's July 15, 16, just a month away. And then at Youth Haven Ranch in Rives Junction, Michigan, on Saturday morning, July 23rd. It's going to be a morning session for couples, 9 o'clock. And we just announced it for the first time yesterday. We're already 10% full in the first day. And so just a reminder, get your tickets. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. You'll see it on the rotating tile or go to the highlights page. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and we'll see you next time.